Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we are, of course, going to talk about some of the things out there that have been in the news. One of the main things that we're trying to talk to people about now is what to do if you find a dog that you don't know who the owner is. And a lot of times dogs wind up being, unfortunately, lost or thrown away. And, you know, I think it's really important for everyone to understand exactly the type and the amount of days and quarantines and all that. Now, I deal with a lot of dog bite cases. I testify in court. Unfortunately, I have to do that very often because a lot of times you get an animal control officer who's very overzealous, which happens quite a bit, or you have somebody who's not really thinking very clearly and they're going to be making money off of this poor quarantined dog. Now, one of those things is that I've seen recently is somebody had a dog that had bitten a child, and it was a pretty serious bite. It was, unfortunately, it was a pit bull. So, you know, all pit bulls are horrible, and they're terrible dogs, and there's no nice pit bulls in the whole world, and, you know, yada, 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 which I know nobody hopefully believes that. But, unfortunately, what winds up happening is that dog then goes not only with a bite history, but there's a quarantine. Now, every state and even every municipality has different regulations. The main one, the 10-day, is I know in the state of New Jersey that since I live here, I know a lot of them, and I do quite a bit of work with that and evaluating dogs for the shelters in our county as well as in other counties, other areas, to make sure that people understand what is required of them. Now, why do you want to have, let's say a dog is missing. You can't find the dog. The dog disappears. What do you do? Well, first thing is always, obviously, is to call your local police. Don't call 911. Even though it's an emergency to us dog lovers, it's not an emergency to most people. It is not life and death of a human being. So don't call 911, but do call the administrative office, which can be every police department, even the state. They have a phone number that is for non-emergent calls. I don't have the number because it's not 911. Do not do that unless there's a person who's been attacked by an animal. Then you can call 911, but 911 is 911 for humans as much as I'm very discouraged that it's not for dogs as well. It isn't. So you call 911 because you have a person who just got bitten by a dog. So the police or the EMS would come and would help the person who got bitten. The dog, though, normally if it's a serious enough bite, and depending on the honesty or experience of the animal control officer or person who is dealing with the situation, normally will allow you, if it's not a real serious bite, to just, or if it's a family member or if it's another dog, will allow you to have that 10-day quarantine in your home. You have to check your local regulations. The borough or the town that you live in usually will make an ordinance, which is a local law, that is then able to help you to know what's legal for the animal control or the whoever it is who's got the contract in your area to be able to do. Now, the 10 days that is required, the reason for that is that rabies has an approximately a 10-day incubation period. So if the dog who bit the person happened to have been bitten by an animal, like a raccoon or a skunk or something, then that rabies in that dog that was possibly bitten by a skunk, raccoon, etc., could incubate in that dog's body for 10 days. And then after that 10 days, if the dog is healthy, then normally they'll let the quarantine be over unless the dog is deemed a dangerous dog. That's when I come in. We right now have, in New Jersey, I have four separate cases. Unfortunately, three of the four are pit bulls, And there's already, you know, everybody's already trying to figure out what to do. And the one dog is actually a really good dog. I think the child who was bitten was taunting the dog, and just it was, I think it was just the perfect storm where everything basically just that could have gone wrong went wrong. And this poor dog was fearful and took a good chunk out of the child. Now, should the dog stay in that family whose friend was bitten? Well, probably not. If the family, however, were very committed to the dog and felt that, you know, this is something we can work with, yes, it's very, very fixable. When is it not fixable? When is it not reparable? Well, that's when the people are not committed to the dog. They don't have that connection to that degree where they feel that the dog is their responsibility. The problem is, once a dog has a bite history, or if you know it, let's talk about it morally versus legally. If you know that a dog has a bite history and it's a potential threat to a human or to another animal, it is your duty not to allow that dog to go to shelter or rescue unless that person or group is very, very well aware of what the dog has done. There are plenty of people around the country who will be happy to take a chance, especially sometimes single guys or a single lady who might, you know, might want to have a dog that's a little protective. That's definitely a possibility. But the problem is that you can't keep that. It's called a sin or a law of omission instead of one of commission. Not, you're not committing a crime. You're omitting evidence. So that is definitely still something that you want to avoid. So if you know that that dog has a history, it's best to tell whoever it is, and then legally you can actually ask them to give you an agreement that's called a hold harmless agreement, which means I understand the dog had bitten someone or it had a history of aggression, and I'm okay with that, and I hold the old owner harmless from any danger or any lawsuit in case that the dog did become aggressive and or hurt somebody else. And that's something that I would highly recommend for anybody who's giving up a dog that has a bite history. Now, coincidentally today, I had a phone call. This is after spending a very long weekend, wonderful weekend, with two Schnauzer rescues in Houston and a few other really great rescue groups down there. Someone who called me today with a giant Schnauzer crossed with a poodle. That's 80 or 90 pounds already, and it's like 9 months, 10 months old. The dog is food aggressive, even with the owners, the dog's aggressive with other dogs. It's aggressive with people. And unfortunately, this is where I rant and rave in my new book, Happens. It's a amazing book that is going to be, talking about things about this so that people are able to understand why these things happen. But one of the problems is it's a mixed breed dog that was bred in Kansas by someone who's trying to make money. It is not a breed, and this is why I go against it. It's not that I have anything against the dogs. I have something against the stupid people out there. And you know what Ron White says, you can't fix stupid, who keep breeding dogs even though they know the temperament or the health is subpar. So this poor family goes and spends probably a lot of money on getting a dog from a quote-unquote breeder, and this woman probably has no clue. She probably has a couple of dogs, and she breeds them and sells them, and she doesn't care because she's already made her money. I'm going to go talking about this much, much more in just a moment, so please stay tuned.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today we're talking or ranting, as I'm very good at doing, and all of you who've been following me for the length of the show know that if it's on my mind, it's on my lips, and I love telling everybody the way it is because you know where I stand. If I don't like the way something is, I'm going to tell about it. If I know information that is false or true, I will tell you it is false or that it is true. I will let you know about scam artists. I will let you know about anything. Think of me as the short female Arnold Diaz, okay, or the John Stossel, who is one of my heroes. I love the guy. He's just a wonderful. This is really about opening people's eyes and making them aware of what is going on in the world. We walk around with rose-colored glasses, everything looks lovely and la-di-da, and we're going to go buy this perfect little puppy. And if I tell you how many people have bought these mixed-breed dogs that have serious fear issues, serious aggression issues, your head would spin. And I don't want to scare anybody, because certainly not every dog that's purchased from a quote-unquote so-called breeder of mixed breed dogs turns out to be a bad dog. But the likelihood of your getting a good dog versus a bad dog is much smaller with a mixed breed dog that is, like we call them, I call them designer disasters. I'm going to trademark that phrase because that is exactly what happens. People say, oh, look how cute it is. If we all looked at cute, no one would have a second marriage, because once the first wrinkle hits our face, we're not so cute anymore. You've got to look deeper than looks. I mean, this is what we teach our children. Stop looking at what the dog looks like. More importantly is the dog's temperament and behavior, the dog's health while it's alive, that it doesn't have a set of hips that's so dysplastic that it's 6 or 7 months of age, it needs a double hip replacement like one of my clients just had for her dog, for her puppy. And above all else, make sure that this dog is going to fit into your family. I've got 2 chapters completely dedicated to designer dogs, to breeders, to talking about the pros and cons of each. And if you really want a mixed breed dog, which I have a bunch of them, and I love them. Matter of fact, one of them is a Lab Ridgeback mix. I love this dog more than I love some of my own dogs already, and we've only had him for like 8-9 months. He's an amazing dog. But the thing is that if you breed a dog, and you specifically breed for a look, or for size, or for shape, or for color, without any care about what could happen or consequence that may arise, because that dog was bred specifically for a single trait, then you have to open your eyes and say, you know what? The likelihood is that it will be an okay dog, but there's a very good chance that this dog will turn out to be aggressive, will turn out to be fearful, will turn out to have a physical or some kind of a temperament issue. It's very likely that you'll have a problem. Then you take the first-time dog owners who have only had one dog in their life, and that's the dog they have then, which there's nothing wrong with that, but there's no education for these people. That's why at United Canine Professionals, unitedkcanineprofessionals.com. We teach people. We have people all over the country. We have people all over the world. We've got our second person now in Bulgaria. We are all out there to help dogs. And I go around with a team of amazing people who help to train the people, and I've trained them all personally, and they're amazing, amazing people. They're learning all kinds of things. They're even learning, some of them are learning our cancer detection techniques. They're learning how to train service dogs. They're learning how to rehabilitate private dogs so that everyone listening will have somebody in their own area, in their own location, who will be able to help them should they have an issue. People in New Jersey and Texas and 37 states that we have and 8 countries, those people are very lucky because we're there. But we can't get all over. I mean, heck, New Jersey's 3.5 hours top to bottom, and I'm about 5 minutes from the top of it, and I just had 4 separate people call me, and it's going to be like a 3-hour drive to get there to help these people. But of course I'm going to be able to do that because I'm not going to let these dogs die. But the one or two, and this one particular who is so aggressive, so young, is really something that should not be. That is genetic. When you have a puppy who is, you know, 11, 12, 13 weeks old, was gotten from the quote-unquote breeder at 6 or 8 weeks of age, that is too young for a puppy to leave. Unless that puppy is at a shelter or a rescue that cannot keep the puppy, you should, especially if you're paying good money from a breeder or quote-unquote breeder-type person, you should be able to take that dog a little bit older so that the dog isn't traveling when it's between 8 and 12 weeks, when it's in its seniority classification period and fear phases. And you should also make sure that the dog or puppy has a temperament test from somebody legit, not just somebody who goes, oh, yeah, it seemed nice. Okay, that's great. Yeah, that guy seemed nice until you run a criminal background on him. You run a criminal background check and you find out he's got charges and been in prison. Yeah, people seem nice. Dogs seem nice. But you need to have somebody legitimate who is absolutely able to give you a very, very good idea of the temperament. And that's why one of the things we do at United Canine Professionals is we evaluate these dogs for groups, and we also train people. We actually do, in case somebody doesn't want to necessarily do a full program and become a canine behaviorist, but they want to work instead just with a shelter or with rescue dogs, we have a program for that. You can go on the Join Our Team icon on our UnitedK9Professionals.com website. If you want, you can call 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, 855-4-K9-PROS. And you can look up also online to see all the wonderful things we do. You can also get involved in helping to do temperament evaluations and to learn a lot more without just being a regular private client of ours. But you can actually go on the Merlin's Kids, MERLINSKIDS, merlinskids.org website, which is 855, hi Wyatt, 855, hi Wyatt, and he's looking up at me right now as I say his 800 number. He loves his 800 number because he gets to hear me say his name and he gets all happy and smiling and wagging his tail. So, again, the most important thing here is to understand how dogs think and to understand how people think, because unfortunately, most people who are in this the breeding mixed breed dogs and breeding puppy mills, all they're interested in is money. And as far as I believe, I don't think there's really much of goodness for people who are only doing something for money. So, you know, this is something we're going to be discussing. We're going to talk a little bit more about how to deal with dogs who have, you know, serious temperament issues in just a moment. So we hope you will stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we are talking about shelter dogs, we're talking about service dogs, and we're talking about how to prevent your puppy, your future puppy or dog, from ending up like one of the 4 million dogs euthanized every year in the United States alone. It is just absolutely disastrous proportion. This is like the tsunami of death. It is so just rampant. And most of the times when people say, oh, you know, I'm going to bring my dog to the shelter, but you don't realize some states, some locations, it's 3 days. If you think your dog is going to do poorly in a shelter, and you put that dog in a shelter, just take the dog to your vet and euthanize it then. Don't put it through torture of 3 days, and then it's going to go die a horrible death. You know, it was sitting by your fireplace one day, and 3 days later, it's got an injection. If they're lucky, they're not doing a heart stick, and they're putting the needle directly into the heart to stop the heart. I mean, there are some horrific things going on. Yes, even in New Jersey. We're definitely less horrific than some of the other locations around the country and certainly around the world, because around the world it's even worse than it is. The worst of what we do is probably about middle of the road or not even halfway down there in some of the other countries. But most important thing is have responsibility, people. You get a dog, you're thinking about getting a dog, it's not something you should take lightly. Now, if you want to see if a dog would kind of fit in to your situation, what you need to do is contact us or contact a foster group. Merlin's Kids is great because you can foster a dog. They're not aggressive. The temperaments are great. The dog may need a little bit of potty training, or, you know, might just need a little something. And then if, you know, you like the dog, you fall in love with the dog, a lot of times our dogs are available. If we know that, and there's our good friend Becca Steinbach, who is in Baltimore area, one of our many people in the area. Becca has a program that she's going to be implementing under Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals that you will be able to actually basically take a puppy or a dog and try it out for a couple of weeks, a month, 2 months, and see if you like that. Is the dog fitting into your schedule? Is the dog fitting into your life? And let's say it doesn't fit in after 2.5 months, and you say, no, it's a really good dog. It's just, you know, our kids are running around. We go away too much. It just was a little bit different than we thought. Well, then you've been wonderful to provide a wonderful foster home, short-term, for a dog, and we would be training you and teaching you what to do so you'd actually have a dog who would be more able to be adopted by another family because of you. So even though you might not keep that dog, the dog would have a better life because he would have been trained, and we teach you how to do that. And if you want to keep the dog, great, then you get to keep the dog all on your own. So we have this really great thing. Becca has talked to me about this ad infinitum, and it's really a great idea she's got, and we're very supportive of her and all of our people at United Canine Professionals. And, by the way, a special shout-out to the future Dr. Jody Joseph, to Caitlin, to Casey, to Laura, to Anita, to Jen, to Susan, to, I'm trying to think who else we were just with, Sarah Beth, to, Donna, and Samantha, and Karen, who all have been wonderful and have been doing a great job with our United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids Dog. So, back on track, okay. Let's work on the next thing being, once you have a dog or once you have a situation where the dog is either aggressive or the dog seems to be out of control in another way, don't right away think, uh-oh, I got to get rid of them. That's just the disposable society we live in right now. Now, as a breeder, and I've only actually had this happen one time, and it was relatively recently, it was this past year, where someone took a puppy and their house was in such turmoil. It wasn't at the time that I agreed to sell them a puppy. I checked their references and their, you know, all of everything, and it came back great. But unfortunately what happened was they had a special needs child who was, now that we're learning, the dog doesn't like to go in a crate and the dog is afraid on walks. And so we don't know what happened, but we know what happened. So, you know, if you have a situation where you start feeling that the dog is really creating stress, don't wait a year or 2 years. If there's a problem with the dog, contact your rescue or contact your shelter right away and tell them, hey, I'm having issues. This isn't going the way I thought it would be going. Now, if your shelter or rescue wants to contact, or if you're in the rescue groups, any of them, if you work with one of our people at United Canine Professionals, which we said is 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, 855-4-K-9-PROS, you can contact us. We will be happy to add you to our list of approved shelters and rescues, which basically means that one of our people will be kind of adopting your shelter as his or her own shelter, and will, if you have issues with a dog there, our people will, free of charge to the shelter, we will go there and work with you with that dog. And then once that dog or any other dog in your area, in your facility, is adopted out, they will get a special discount from anyone in the entire company, anywhere around the world, from United Canine Professionals. What we do is we have a lifetime guarantee. And now, lifetime guarantees are great if you have people to back it up. So let's say you live in Arizona, for instance, and you get a lifetime guarantee. And let's say the person moves to Kansas or to Arkansas or to Florida. That lifetime guarantee isn't really valid anymore, is it? It's kind of like getting a lifetime membership to a tanning club, and it changes its name and gets reorganized, and now you've just spent a lot of money and you've got nothing. You want to stick with a larger company, not one that is abusive, not one that throws things at dogs, not one that uses choker chains and shock collars and citronella sprays. But a company like United Canine Professionals, who has this amazing group of like-minded individuals who will help you. So, for instance, the person in Arizona who had the dog and then found that the lifetime guarantee was about as useless as the person who might have helped them, that let's say they moved to, you know, Texas or Louisiana or Florida or New Jersey, we have people all over the country. So our person in another area of the country, also free of charge to you, would help you with your dog. We just had that. We had a family in New Jersey. The young girl who is, well, she's not young, but for me she is, actually moved to North Carolina to go to college there. And she is actually in training now with us. She's in her early 20s, and she's amazing. But when she first got down to North Carolina, we sent Allison and Ashley, two of our people from North Carolina, to go and help her. And it was like a 3.5 hour long or 4 hour long trip. But they did that for her because she has a lifetime guarantee with United Canine Professionals for her dog anywhere in the country. That's standing behind the dogs, and that's helping to prevent 4 million more dogs dying next year from being euthanized for behavioral issues alone. Please stay tuned. We will be right back.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking about dogs and we're talking about rescue. We're talking about how to prevent your dog from getting stuck in a shelter or rescue. Main thing is that I want to emphasize here, we're not talking about good dogs. Good dogs that don't have behavioral issues, and I've got tons of them in my house. You can't tell because they're so good they don't bark a lot. But if I rang the doorbell, you'd hear a couple of them barking. Now, at my farm in New Jersey and our new farm in Missouri, right near the capital city of Missouri, we have quite a few dogs. And, you know, one of the things is I think the neighbors will say, oh, no, it's going to be a rescue. It's going to be so much barking. Nobody can ever believe that we have as many dogs as we do because they are all so well-behaved. The only complaint we've ever had is when our donkey Arthur, he brays, you know, that meow, meow, at 8 o'clock in the morning, and somebody said, oh, my gosh, your horse is sick. I said, no, he's a donkey. Arthur doesn't have an indoor voice. That's Arthur's voice. Sorry, he weighs 900 pounds, and he's a gigantic donkey. And that's the sound that God gave him. So it's kind of like Kathy Ireland, who is magnificently beautiful, but had that little high, tiny, squeaky voice. You know, you are what you are. Arthur has an outdoor voice. He doesn't have an indoor voice. So the goal is when you have a dog and you feel that the dog has a small behavioral issue, you can always try your local obedience trainer. I am not at all averse to obedience. I actually, Wyatt's brother, Dillinger, Nolan Melissa Hirsch, have that dog as number one in a number of the different venues of obedience. He's number one in the country. So, I mean, that's an amazing thing, and I obviously love the fact that Dillinger is the champion in obedience. But beside that, the most important thing to understand is if it can be solved with a simple local obedience trainer who is, you know, using cookies or clickers or whatever, then that's great. Then it wasn't a behavioral issue at all. It was a training issue. So I want to talk a little bit about what's the difference between a training issue and what's the difference between that and an obedience, a behavioral issue. Obedience is fun. I mean, my dogs actually have, three of my dogs have rally obedience titles, which is kind of funny because I have no clue how to do it. It's just my dogs follow me, and if I stop for a second, they sit, and if I stop for more than a few seconds, they lie down. If I walk, they follow me. They look up at me because they want to know where I'm going, not because I have food in my hand that I'm going to bribe them with. My dogs don't have to do circus tricks and party tricks to amuse people. My dogs find cancers. My dogs work with special needs kids. They find all kinds of diseases. They travel with me all over. They're my service dogs. My dogs are never going to wind up in a shelter or rescue. You know why? Because they don't have behavioral issues. So if I had a dog who had a behavioral issue, the way I would know that is because let's say you have a dog and you say, well, I don't know if it's an obedience issue or is it a behavioral issue. Obedience is not bad. It's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. It's fun, especially when you have young kids and the dog is well-behaved and the dog doesn't have any behavioral issues, to teach the kids a little responsibility, teach the kids to teach the dog how to do some tricks and sit and lie down and cookie and paw. And I mean, my Lexi, I don't do it with food, but my little Lexi will put on a series of tricks that you would just not even believe. She's incredible. And she loves it. So I do a little with her, but I don't give her food. But that's fine if you do that with food. You can use a clicker. I did agility for many, many years. I do lure coursing. But with agility, yeah, we used food. Most of my dogs didn't want it, but, you know, it's fine. If it's operant conditioning, food and clickers are awesome. It's fun. You go, oh, look, especially with, like I said, with young, you know, younger kids. You know, hey, you know, go teach a dog to sit. Go teach a dog to pick up my slippers and bring them. Just make sure that when the dog starts bringing you slippers that you didn't ask him to bring, and he now has a behavioral issue because you taught him to hunt, make sure you contact a behaviorist from United Canine Professionals. So obedience is a fun thing. It really is. Now, behaviors are things that go on in the brain, in the mind. Obedience teaches not in the brain, although the command, the dog will say, hey, this guy's going to give me a cookie if I sit down, so I'm going to sit down. I'm hungry. I'd like to eat a cookie. But think about it, if me right now, and you said, hey, Janice, would you come over and help me clean my garage out? We're like, sure, be happy to. And I would, you know, plan to come over, and you'd say, hey, if you come over, like today, I'll get you a 5-pound lobster. Well, heck, if you knew me, lobsters and crab legs, I'm on it. So, yeah, I'm coming over, and you buy me this amazing 5-pound lobster. So I go home. I'm thrilled. You lived up to your bargain. Now, a couple of weeks later, you say, hey, Janice, can you come over and help me straighten up my utility closet? Same thing. I'll get you lobster. Oh, yeah, hell yeah. I love lobster. I will be over there in a little while. And I go over there. And you get me a little 6-ounce slipper lobster tail. And I kind of look and go, well, that's not exactly what we contracted for, but all right, at least it's a lobster of some sort. A couple weeks later, you call me, you go, hey, Janice, I'm straightening up my dining room. I'm going to put my dishes away and switch dishes to the Christmas dishes. Can you help? We going to do dinner again? Yeah, we'll do dinner. Okay, great. And I go over there and I help you do your dishes and move things around, do all those things. And you give me a piece of cod. Am I coming back the fourth time? Probably not. Reason I'm not coming back is you lied. The last two times you said you were going to get me a lobster, a 5-pound lobster. You did it once. The second time you cheated, you know, and chintzed out on it. The third time it wasn't even close. Yeah, it lives in the ocean. Big whoop. Lobster and a piece of cod. Oh, that's the same. So I won't come back. And that's why you have a dog who won't come when you call. That's why even some of the people who have these top obedience dogs, they'll call me or call one of our United Canine Professionals people, and they'll say, my dog won't come when I call him. Imagine that. You taught him to do things with food, and now you're not giving him food. Or you're just going to walk around with a treat bag on your right hip, and it's going to cause you to have you know, imbalance with your movement because you got 20 pounds of treats in your right hip and your left hip is getting all the pressure on it. You know, think about it. Think like a dog. Now, instead of that, if you called me and said, hey, Janice, I really need help. Would you mind helping me clean out my garage? I'd be like, yeah, absolutely. I'm on my way. I'd be happy to help you. And you get me a 5-pound lobster. I said, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. You didn't have to do this. This is so generous of you. I would have come do it anyway. You know, no, Janice, we appreciate it. Okay, great. Now, I didn't expect it, but you gave it to me. The next time they call, hey, Janice, I need a little help organizing our utility room. Would you mind coming by again? Oh, I'd be happy to help you. And this time, after we're finished, you get me a nice little slipper lobster tail. And go, oh, man, that was so sweet of you. You didn't have to. The next time, hey, Janice, I need you to help me organize my dining room with the dishes. Oh, okay, great. I'll be happy to help you. And you get me a nice piece of cod. And I say, oh, geez, you keep making me dinner. This is so sweet of you. Thank you so much. But you don't have to give me anything. You call the fourth time, and I come over. I don't expect dinner. I don't expect something. I'm doing it because I want to, and I'm doing it because I care about you, and maybe even because I love you. That's why I'm doing it. That's why we don't want to bribe our dogs to teach them party tricks and think that's behavior. Obedience is awesome. But behavior is behavior, and if you have a dog with a behavioral issue, no amount of tossing cookies or clickers or shock collars or choker chains is going to fix it. All you're going to do is lose your connection with your dog, and you're going to blow it. We'll be right back with our last segment. Stay tuned.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and Wyatt Ridgeback, who is here snuggling me right now in my studio here in New Jersey. It's very fun having my baby boy right next to me. He's so good. And you know what? If I'm sitting actually right now eating some delicious gluten-free chicken marsala, and Wyatt is about 6 inches from it, and his back is to it because he knows it's my food. I don't even have to tell him, don't take it. He knows it's not his, it's mine. And that's really the difference, is understanding, for the dogs to understand, what are the rules of your house? What do you expect from your dog? What do you want your dog to do? Don't just get mad at him because he's doing the wrong thing. Teach him what you want him to do. Now, we were talking at the top of the hour about different things that can happen when you have a dog bite or a quarantine situation. I would advise everyone, even if you don't have an aggressive dog, learn what the regulations are, go to your municipality, go to your town hall, and ask them, what are the regulations on dogs? How many dogs are we allowed to have? What are the hours that the dogs cannot bark after? Or there's, you know, the quiet time. Find those things out. Find out your licensing regulations. find out if instead of giving an old dog another vaccination that may cause his immune system to go crazy and go haywire, find out if a titer is acceptable. Find out about your dog and the situation in your house and in your town and in your neighborhood. Know where your nearest emergency vet clinic is, because that's a really important thing. Most people do not know the location of all the emergency locations of veterinarians and what time they're open. All we do is, oh my gosh, my vet left a number on the recording. Well, find out all that information. Find out, you know, what other dogs are in your neighborhood, and if there, you know, are any dogs at large where dogs tend to run around and there could be a danger for your dog, or if your dog isn't so good and you haven't yet called United Canine Professionals, then it's going to be very, very important for you to start understanding that. If you have a dog with an obedience issue that you want to learn, you want to teach the dog a trick, or you want to teach the dog to, you know, to sit on command or do any of many fun tricks and things like that, by all means, have at it. Enjoy yourself. It's fun making a dog do that. I did that as a kid. I had a Scottish Terrier named Charcoal, Master Charcoal Voris McKenzie. And Charcoal was, we got him when I think I was 7, so I was probably about 8 or 9 when I had this dog trained already. My older brother, Jeff, wanted a dog, and my father, who has now gone for about 10 years, my father actually loved Scottish Terriers and grew up with some wonderful dogs from the Terrier family, like Welsh Terrier and an Airedale and so on. So he always loved Scotties. We got this Scotty. Charcoal was maybe a year or two old. He could climb up an actual ladder, like a real ladder, like 6-8 foot high ladder, get to the top. He would actually, there would be a cookie in his mouth. So he would actually, I'd give him a cookie. He would take it. He would climb up the ladder. He would drop it into a cup. The cup would then flip over into something that looked like that old game Mousetrap, if anybody knows what that game was. And from that point on, it was like a Rubik's kind of, Rubik's innovation. I was a very innovative kid like I am as an adult. And, I mean, I had boxes that would fall into another box, then there would hit dominoes, and then the dominoes would move, and then the thing would go up in a lever, and there'd be a pulley, and the pulley would drop the cookie onto another thing. And eventually, a few minutes later, this cookie that my Scottish Terrier Charcoal had gone up a ladder and dropped into the first little cup, that eventually came back down into a little area. And when it hit that little area, he would look up at me as if to say, hey, can I eat it yet? And, of course, you know, then I would say, okay, and he would go and he would take the cookie. It was really fun. So, I mean, I understand how much fun it can be to teach dogs tricks. And it's even really fun when we're training service dogs. We're training one right now that's going to be, it's not only is he trained for seizures and for PTSD, but he's also, right now we're training him to help pick things up and also to carry things for the owner. So, you know, he's a really fun dog because, you know, we don't have to use food with it. He's a lab Ridgeback mix, so he's already got that whole thing going. But the goal is, that's the kind of stuff when you have a great dog that does not have behavioral issues, because we've already rehabilitated any behavioral issues that that dog had. That's what's fun then, because you can play with your dog. You can teach him to grab a ball or throw things and have him retrieve them. That's fun. That's why we love our dogs. But when you've got a dog who's got severe anxiety, who's aggressive, who's got any issues like that whatsoever, I think the most important thing to understand is that you cannot fix a behavior issue with training. Behavior is behavior, and it's in the same realm as if you came home and you found that your place had been vandalized and burglarized, and all your precious photos had somebody had spilled like glue and coffee on them, and they were all disgusting and ruined forever. And those are the only photos you had of that person or people or animals from your past. Think about how upset and angry you'd be. And now imagine if I came over and I said, oh, that's okay, sit down, calm down. Here's a cookie. think of how you'd feel. Would you feel calm because you were sitting? You'd still be upset, rightfully so. So if you're upset about that, that's because your brain is the thing that was upset. It wasn't your body that was upset. Yes, you might scream or cry. That's your body reacting, but your brain is telling your body what to do. And if you don't understand what behavior is and understand the difference between obedience and behavior, then you're not going to understand how to fix your dog when it has behavioral issues. Now, using police training, which my husband was one of the precursors, one of the original forerunners of this, the techniques that they're using now. He trained in New Jersey, and he actually trained with many, many large government agencies, very large, who handle national security and intelligence for the United States. My husband was a private security for 4 different presidents. So, I mean, yes, we know dogs. We've been doing it a long time. But the key is police training. When somebody says, oh, I'm a canine trainer, canine means dog. If they say police canine, they're not allowed, unless it's another division, but I know it was that way in New Jersey, an active duty canine officer cannot freelance while he is on duty. So in other words, if somebody says, yes, I'm active in ABC County, and I'm going to do police training with your dog, he's lying because he can't, because it's a conflict of interest. And if that dog he trained happens to bite the wrong person because he doesn't do a good job or because the follow-up is no good with your family, then his department can actually become liable in some instances. So it's really important to understand behavioral issues require a behaviorist. You can go to a veterinary behaviorist who will be only too happy to prescribe Prozac, Clomacom, some of these other things that they use. But most dogs do not have chemical issues. Most dogs have behavioral issues. We can help you at United Canine Professionals. We are behaviorists. We are behavioral experts, and we have continuing education. And these people who we train go through a lot of training in order to be certified and to be qualified to represent our company and to help you and your dog. So I don't know how it happened again, but it's the end of our last segment for the day. Thank you so much for listening. We'll have another spirited week next week on Tuesday, and we'll have our For the Love of Dog show on Friday at the same time. Please stay tuned for next Tuesday and this Friday. Have a wonderful week.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.